We're visiting with Todd Clausen, who is Director of Agronomy and Technical Services with Farmers Cooperative Company. And Todd, again, for our listeners, just tell us again the part of the state of Iowa that you cover there.
So Farmers Cooperative Company and the FC Agronomy team, we have a pretty wide footprint in the state. So we run as far south as Interstate 80 and as far north into the first tier counties of Minnesota, and we're both east and west side of 35. So we likely see about 60 to 65% of the state of Iowa within our trade territory.
Well, let's talk about what you're seeing now this week here as we head into the middle part of July. How are crops developing there?
Widely scattered. I'd have to say that we're extremely variable from county to county, and you can find corn. Initial corn farms that are 2.5 to 3 leaves apart in the same field because of wet areas that stayed wet, depressed, growth and things of that nature. But we have corn showing initial tassel south of the Highway 30 corridor between Interstate 80 and Highway 30. And then we literally have corn 7 to 8 inches tall in the northeast part of the state. So we're widely variable, and, we have crop that looks good, though, without doubt, and then we have some areas that just look good, and then down to tough. But if you want to call Iowa good to excellent at 60%, well, that I could agree with. But it looks good to excellent if it were June 1st in a lot of places. So we're behind. Simple as that.
Right. And, of course, after one of the wettest springs in history, all of a sudden we're wishing for rain again, right?
All of a sudden, yeah, 4th of July came, and, we caught this pattern of 85 to 93 degrees and even high humidity. But we've been seeing corn roll up in stress areas on a number of farms since last Thursday. But you think about that wet spring that you just mentioned. What happens with continual rainfall and surface moisture? Your root systems stay fairly shallow. And now when it's depleted on the surface for moisture, those roots are still there, and it's going to take time to generate that tissue and get deeper into the soil profile.
And speaking of roots, understand the rootworm is coming on strong.
Yeah, 2012, since last June of 2012, it's been on our radar. 2012 season in the state of Iowa saw the heaviest pressure of corn rootworm larvae that then pupated into corn rootworm beetle that we've ever seen historically. We had farms that were 40 and 50 times the economic threshold for control. And it's on our radar coming into the spring. We've taken multiple avenues of control. We're using traits below ground, multiple traits below ground, soil-applied insecticides. And even with those measures, with all that pressure that we've seen that have been created by the 2012 intense pressure, it's starting to break through, and we can certainly find first and second instar feeding larvae on corn roots that even have multiple modes of protection, even with soil-applied insecticides, which also to their defense with, we've got areas, Ken, in the state of Iowa that have to date from April 1 exceeded annual precipitation averages. So we have 30 to 32 inches of rainfall in certain places, so we can't expect those soil-applied insecticides to hang around forever and continue to have enough toxicity to control. But soon we're going to have, in 15, 16, 17 days, we will see those larvae that are feeding today. We'll see them pupate and emerge out of the ground as corn rootworm beetle or the adult stage. And at least the Farmers Co-op and at the FC Agronomy team, we will address the adult, and we'll control the adult before they're able to lay eggs for the following year, to at least continue to manage and keep an eye on and avert more of these problems in subsequent years. So we're going to continue our diligent management by looking and controlling the corn rootworm adult.
Of course, we've had a lot of talk about rootworm resistance to the BT hybrids. Is it too early to judge if that's going to be a significant factor this year?
That's walking a fine line for me. I thoroughly believe in the BT, the bacillus type of traits. Understand what I said earlier is we have 40 and 50 times the threshold economic threshold of pressure. So think about it in this perspective. The very best soil applied insecticide that we've ever used controls about 70 to 75%. And so if you have even tenfold the pressure and you get the best control you can get out of these products, you still have 2.5 times the pressure, if that makes sense. So yes, we are seeing feeding on these traits, but I still think they're doing their job. It's just that we have to address this pest at that type of pressure with multiple modes of control. So it's trait, it's multiple trait, it's soil-applied insecticide, it's seed-applied insecticide, and it's adult beetle control. All of those things then will help us diligently lower the overall pressure in subsequent years.
Okay, and what other factors might be working on the crops out there? Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, we've had in the south, we've got early reports of gray leaf spot. Quite early for that. We've had Fusarium crown rot for 15 days now. So we've had early fungal disease set in, which would hold true and be common sense if you think about all the moisture that we've had. Well, if you have Fusarium crown rot in a corn plant on June 15th, how long will that disease affect that plant? Well, for the rest of its life. So we are gearing up as we speak to apply post-applied fungicides at early tassel time to help alleviate some of that pressure of fungal diseases, add more plant health. But we have a late crop, and we're going to have a crop that's going to have to stand in the field a long time. We need these fungicides to assist in late season standability in addition. So a lot of things going on today, Ken.